Welcome and thank you for listening to another edition of Local Matters. On this week's broadcast, we bring you two significant interviews taking place on a significant day to WQPH, that's October 3rd. We had a big event for Sister Deirdre Byrne, and our first interview will be with Father Nadali, and he talks about the Divine Mercy and following that, a wonderful interview with Sister Deirdre Byrne. Joining me is Father Bob. Without further ado, here's Father Nadali.
We're here for an afternoon with Sister Deirdre Byrne, and we are also here with Reverend Nadali. Thank you very much for taking the time to be with us today.
My pleasure.
Now, I understand you deal with the Divine Mercy images. Could you please talk a little about your cause?
Well, when I went to Poland and I said Mass at the chapel, the convent at St. Faustina, where I saw a body, I got very interested in Divine Mercy from there. When you have a personal experience where there are 100,000 people on the Feast of Divine Mercy after Easter, God celebrated there. And from there, I continued to develop a love for Divine Mercy. Every day at 3 o'clock on EWTN, you have an opportunity to share a chapter of Divine Mercy. So I started to look for parishes who would like to have this 8 feet by 4 feet divine image, Jesus, I trust in you. And now we have it in 75 churches in Hartford, Bridgeport, Norwich, Rhode Island diocese. Now we're coming to the Springfield diocese. I just got a call from a priest from Amherst who wants it put up. So my goal is to keep on going. I'm closer to the tomb than I am to the womb. And when I was your age, I was good looking. Now that I'm 93, I'm just looking good. So I don't have much more time to shape up before I ship out. Where do I get the money? One reason for being successful in the parishes is because we're paying for it. The Father Nadali Good News Fund is paying for it. So it's a lot easier to get a yes if you're paying for it. Where do I get the money? I used to try and raise the money, and now I'm begging for it. And right now I have $48,000 to put up the next 17 at Divine Mercy. But
wow.
So it'll be up to 91. And I'd love to get at least 100 before this year's over.
Mm-hmm.
So if the Holy Spirit wants it, we'll have it. And the effect, we have thousands and thousands of cars going by churches. We have the 8 foot by 4 foot Divine Mercy right in front. So cars are going by all the time. And it's amazing how people are touched by it. One woman stopped at a light and she looked up the Divine Mercy on the side of the church and she couldn't help crying. And what it's doing is bringing people aware of Jesus' mercy. We're always talking about condemnation and judgment. But Jesus, in his message to St. Faustina, says, I want to show mercy. And with us, through us, and in us. So he chooses each one of us to be his channel of mercy, like you are, me, and everyone else in our world. God gives us love so he could use us as a channel to give his love to others. God gives us mercy so he could use his mercy to show his mercy through our mercy through others. So like on our way up here, I've said the chapter of Divine Mercy. It took me almost 2 hours to get here. So I got all my rosaries in for the next 3 days. So take every opportunity, especially when you're alone, to say the chapter of Divine Mercy. It only takes about 10 minutes, but you're calling upon Christ to show mercy, and he wants to show mercy, but he wants to use each one of us as a channel of his mercy. It's not my mercy when I'm kind to someone. It's his mercy working through us. It's not my love. It's Christ's love working through us. So these Divine Mercy images that I have on churches, 8 foot by 4 feet, reminds people of God's mercy, that he wants to show mercy, especially through each one of us. But we're handicapped and imprisoned by our judgmental attitude instead of our merciful attitude. So before I have Divine Mercy in newspapers, people cut out the ads that I have and they put them on the walls. I have them on highways and billboards. I'll tell you one story. I had a Divine Mercy billboard on 84 going west in Connecticut, and a man looked at me, called me, and he said, because I'm shy and humble, I have my name and telephone number on the billboard. And so he called me. He says, I love what you're doing, promoting Divine Mercy. And he said, I'd like to have your billboard up for the whole year. I said, well, it costs me over $2,000 a month. He said, well, how much does it cost? And I said, right now, for the rest of the year, it costs $38,000. He wrote out a check for $38,000.
Wow.
Because he believes in the Divine Mercy. And the reason why I'm able to raise the money is because God wants us to show his mercy in the world. And the billboards are perfectly good ways, just like the Divine Mercy images on churches. But I have billboards all over Connecticut with the Divine Mercy. When people see it, one person stopped me and said, I saw your billboard. I couldn't help crying. So Jesus is showing mercy through the billboards. He's showing mercy through his Divine Mercy images on churches. I have them in schools. I have them on private property. So the point is, Christ wants us to realize how he wants to show his mercy. And he wants to do it through us. He wants to do it through you. He wants to do it through me. He wants to do it through every person that took that Divine Mercy 8x11 picture and put it on the door. And I realized that Jesus wants to show mercy, but we don't realize we are channels of God's mercy. It's Christ showing mercy, but through each one of us. And those images that I have on windows, I've given about 5,000 of those out so far. And if people put it on the door of the room of their house and realize that God's mercy is working in them and through them, through their family, I think there'd be a lot of different types of world.
And are you the one responsible for the one I saw on the expressway on 93?
On 93? That's in Massachusetts?
Yes.
No.
Mostly, somebody put someone up, one by 128, yeah. And then on the expressway getting into Boston.
So there,
and it was beautiful.
If everybody would start thinking of it, it makes people think about God's mercy on the highway. You know, you're distracted and all that. The highway, those billboards are a tremendous thing. I have a car which is a mobile billboard because on my car I have a picture of Christ. A person stopped me a few days ago, put down the window, threw a kiss. Was that for me or for Jesus? And she says, it's for Jesus, not for you, Father. So it's, you're always preaching. On the way up, I went 60 miles an hour. So everybody had to pass me. Not everybody, but a lot of people saw my on both sides. I go in the middle, so you see my image on both sides of the car. It's a mobile billboard.
Well, if you're on the expressway, you have plenty of time to contemplate while you're sitting in traffic, which is, it's the worst place for traffic getting into Boston.
Right.
So people have time to contemplate. My other question for you is if our listeners would like to be involved in the Divine Mercy, whether it's donating, whether it's having one put in a certain spot, how can they get in touch with you? How can they get in touch with your organization?
I'm on social media, on Facebook, TikTok, and right here I have almost 3 million people on TikTok, on Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter, or X, or Blu-ray, whatever it is. I give them my telephone number, and if they could text me or call me, and it's 860-335-2342, 860-335-2342, or my landline, 860-761-7428, 860-761-7428. Leave a message on either one if I'm not there.
And your Reverend Edmund Nadali,
right?
Is that your handle on TikTok, or had you just?
It's at Father Locase Ed. At Father Locase Ed. Not large letters, but small one. At Father Locase Ed.
Okay.
Or Father Ed Nadali, and you'll eventually find me there.
All right. Well, thank you so much for your time today. Is anything you'd like to add?
May God the Father bless you. May God the Son heal you. May God the Holy Spirit strengthen you. May Joseph Mary intercede for you and all the saints pray for you and for your family. In the name of the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit, amen.
Amen. Thank you for listening to WQPH 89.3 FM, Shirley Fitchburg, Queen of Perpetual Health, and welcome to another edition of Local Matters. And here we are today. We're very, very excited to be speaking with Sister Deirdre Byrne. She's the main speaker of the event that is happening today, an afternoon with Sister Deirdre Byrne. Today is October 3rd. And we're just so glad that you can be here. We're here with Sister Deirdre and Father Bob, and we're just going to be talking with her a little bit about why she's here, the importance of her mission, and what she hopes people should keep in mind in these days of these troubled times. Hi, Sister Deirdre.
Hey, how are you? Thank you for having me.
Thank
Should
you.
Should we start with a prayer?
Yes, let's start with prayer, please.
Say, come, Holy Spirit, come now, come as you will. Glory be to the Father, to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
Amen. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Father.
Thank you.
I just wanted to talk with you a little bit about why this afternoon is so important to you.
Well, it's important to me because I've been communicating over the past year and a half almost to a group of Bostonians who love the Lord, devout Catholics, and pro-life from the womb to the tomb. We're going to focus on today mainly a pro-life issue that's been ignored or not even aware of, and that is the issue of euthanasia, which is a problem worldwide. It's in the north of us, in Canada, it's rampant. Here in the United States, it's illegal, but it's happening. It's called stealth euthanasia. So euthanasia is the taking of a life of someone without their wishes. They may be clear of mind, but the family may have some different ideas. They may have problems with their cognitive state, or they're in a coma, or they're in a vegetative state. Every life is precious no matter what. And why did I get involved with this? I was the sister who, in 2020, when the election was occurring, and I was concerned about the life issues, perhaps not being able to be continued under the President Trump of 2016. And so I prayed to the Lord in our chapel, Lord, let me be your voice for life. I'm not doing enough for you. And a few hours later, the Trump White House asked if I would speak, and I said, at the RNC, could I speak on the sanctity of life? And they said, absolutely. So I felt like that was the Lord answering a prayer of being able to be his voice for life. Little did I know, I am the worst in the sense of limiting God and how, I have a prayer, but he has a bigger idea, a bigger prayer for me. So that prayer was not only to support the unborn in the womb, but also to support in the our elderly, our disabled, and people like that. How did I get involved with this? A very, very, very dear friend of mine of 35 plus years, a religious sister from O'Fallon, Missouri, with a community, Sisters of the Most Precious Blood. Like many people who had some illness, ended up in a rehab center, and then she sort of got shifted into a nursing home environment of the same building. And then they moved her up to the third floor, which I heard whispering, oh, that's the hospice ward. Sister, it was as alert as you and me. I flew there in January of 2022 and clearly saw she'd for 2 days was in a coma, dilated pupils and unresponsive. I thought she had a stroke. After 2 days, she woke up and I said, what's going on, sister? And she said, I don't know. I'm getting over sedated. I don't know why. And then in comes, it's almost like a perfect movie scene. In comes a hospice nurse. She goes, oh, we're transitioning her. Which means, in the hospice lingo, we were helping her die. And I said, well, the only transition sister's going to have is transitioning from St. Charles, Missouri to Washington, D.C., where we can take care of her. So it was a battle for 4 months, from January of 2022 to April 4th, when on April 1st, April Fool's Day, we had already spent $6,000 on a ground ambulance. The superior of her community said she could go, and then she changed her mind. Sister was hesitant about going because she didn't want to go against the vow of obedience. However, we had spoken to a canon lawyer who said, when it comes to your health, this isn't a law, you don't have to obey. But Sister Philip Marie, at the age of 88, didn't want to create a battle. So on April 1st, they kicked us out, and 4 days later she was dead. They stopped her oxygen, gave her, they clamped her feeding tube, and over-sedated her. In 4 days she was dead. So I, needless to say, was very distraught. That week before, the hospice care, her community, her family, was unaware that we had been getting a lot of video coverage of her speaking to us. So we have turned this into a documentary on euthanasia, covering not only Sister Philip Marie, but we're covering a young girl named Grace, who was euthanized. She was put on in Northeast Wisconsin. She was a young girl of 19 with Down syndrome, put in the hospital because of COVID pneumonia, was getting better, had better, worse. The family wanted her home, but they, without her parental advice, made her do not resuscitate, and she died. Over-sedated. The family, though, sued the hospital system. Sadly, it's a Catholic hospital, St. Elizabeth. They went to court for 3 weeks. They lost. The hospital voted, and the jurors, 11 out of 12, said, it's okay for a hospital system to make your loved one a do not resuscitate. So that's where we are right now. And then we have a wonderful man who, Roy Schumann, convert from Judaism to Catholicism. His mother survived a Holocaust in Nazi Germany, but didn't survive a nursing home in Florida. She was killed. Roy was a professor at Harvard in business, PhD. He himself has a beautiful story. If you look at his story, he had a conversion. The Lord spoke to him, and our Blessed Mother came to him. And when he was in an agnostic state at the age of 3 or 5, and became a very devout Catholic, now lives in Ave Maria. And then, of course, we have the most wonderful Bobby Schindler, who's Terry, he's the brother of Terry Schiavo. And he speaks about the dignity of human life, no matter what phase or stage we're at. So this documentary of 55 minutes, which we are offering for free worldwide, because my intention is to wake people up and help them know that this is unfortunately happening in the United States. So we as Catholics and Christians, everyone, to be prepared to not have to be faced with being forced to give up our lives for someone else who may not see your life as worthy. I, off the cuff, speak a lot about redemptive suffering, about, you know, how our Lord died on the cross for our sins so that we could have eternity with him. And if your life is shortened and you have not had that opportunity to have your soul prepared and you've been robbed of that ability, that's very unfortunate. In our Catholic faith, and Father probably could pipe in on this, we have the gift of not only the anointing of the sick, but actually the apostolic blessing. That's a blessing that can remove the remissions of all your sins, temporary sins here on this earth. I mean, how beautiful is that, to be at your deathbed and to have a priest give you the apostolic blessing to remove your sins so that when you die, you have that most beautiful opportunity to be with our Lord in eternity. And that's our goal. I spoke at the RNC about that. I'm not only a pro-life doctor, I'm pro-eternal life. And I want all of us to be in heaven. But hell is real, and we need to be aware of that. So all that's going on, as you mentioned in the beginning, this world has gone mad. It's gone crazy with the transgender ideology and families separating and divorce and contracepting and cohabitating and name it. It's going on. What's going on is Satan wants to destroy the family. We're near ground zero, but the real ground zero is the womb of the mother. And when that devil snarfs out the womb, there's millions and millions of babies that are being destroyed now. And that rippling into all the other satanic things that are going on. Why? Because the devil is so pitifully jealous of our Lord and our Blessed Mother and the sanctity of family. Rip up the family and he's a winner. So, yeah, sorry, that's a little bit lengthy of an answer, but that's what we're here for.
No, absolutely, yeah. And we want to hear all about it.
Doctors can do what's called stealth euthanasia. Mm-hmm. That means hidden. I'm a doctor. Mm-hmm. We have the license to stop feeds, like when we take some of the operating, when we make them NPO, nothing by mouth. We have the license to give narcotics, and we have the license to put oxygen on. I don't understand, you know, they weren't even pretending with Sister Philip Marie because they took her oxygen off. And we saw that. We had so many witnesses that. So stealth euthanasia is where you insidiously decrease the hydration, and then they start to give morphine, give more and more. And they'll say, oh, it's for their pain. But Roy Schumann said, Mom, are you in pain? She says, no, I'm not. They're just trying to poison me. Roy Schumann, when his mother had broken her hip. And he says, well, she's not in any pain. The doctor wants her to get this. Not only did she get morphine, they started to double up on it and give it more frequent. Mm-hmm. Because you'll see in the documentary that there's a nefarious relationship between Medicare and hospice care. Hospice, after a certain period of time, will stop getting paid if you live too long. So if you don't live a long time and don't use as much things like morphine or supplies, this hospice will get more money, and Medicare won't have to spend as much. So it's this really insidious, ugly relationship about these two groups now. So hospice is in the business now of killing people. Not every hospice. I know some of your listeners are wonderful nurses who have worked for hospice, and many are beautiful hospices, but they're declining. The East Coast is different than the West Coast. The Southeast, like the Carolinas, I've spoke to a few doctors, they are still in the business of taking care of people in their time and not hastening to death. In the West Coast, they're actually teaching how to do physician-assisted suicide in residency programs, mm-hmm. like they're teaching how to do abortion. So we have to be educated on this, and that's my mission, is to teach people about all this so that you can be eternally with our Lord in heaven. As who is it? They merrily we will meet in heaven. My father's favorite, G.K. Chesterton said that.
Oh, yes.
Pray for me, and I will pray for you that we will merrily meet in heaven.
Yeah, beautiful. Yeah.
G.K. Chesterton.
So aware of what happens. I used to be a hospital chaplain. Sometimes people would just have a small episode, but they kind of convince them that life is over. You're not going to go anywhere. To convince them, you know, to end their life. But then my aunt was 107. She said, the Lord's with me, and when the Lord called me, I'm ready.
Beautiful, beautiful, Father. Mm-hmm.
So as things are happening in the world, are there any prayers that you're saying right now, that a main prayer that you can share with our listeners of how that would help them?
First, we have adoration. Our community, well, worldwide, we're the Little Workers of the Sacred Hearts, and we serve the poor. We put everyone between the heart of Jesus and Mary, starting in southern Italy. And so we have missions in India, Italy, Albania, Argentina, and here in the United States. So you can go and you'll see a Little Worker of the Sacred Hearts anywhere in the world, and we have the same prayer life. So it's centered on the Eucharist. Our founder said, Blessed Greco said, it was before the Most Blessed Sacrament that I found the love of Jesus and the power of that love. It's before the Blessed Sacrament that I found the love of Jesus and the power of that love. So we have adoration an hour in the morning and in the evening. So we're a semi-contemplative act of life. And then we have, of course, our morning, midday, evening, and night prayers of the church that every religious order, every priest should pray, and every lay person should learn to pray. There's apps on it and how to pray the liturgy. So if we're rooted in prayer and before the Most Blessed Sacrament, there's nothing to fear. We're only pilgrims here on this earth. And where one day the Lord will call us, and it's going to be a glorious, if we really were hopeful about heaven and really believed in it, we wouldn't want to be holding on to this earth so much. Now, I understand as parents that you're worried about your little ones, and that is your mission, to not only save your own soul, save your spouse and your children. What I mean by that is the priest is the conduit or the persona Christi to save souls. But you are a part of that by being in a state of grace. You must be in a state of grace. Go to confession. Receive our Lord as often. My father was a thoracic surgeon. He went to communion every day. My mom raised 8 kids. She went to communion every day. If you think about what's going on when you eat food, it lasts 3 hours in your system. If you really believe Jesus is there in the Blessed Sacrament, if that's really our Lord, then we are consumed. We are like walking tabernacles, like our Blessed Mother, and you are bringing our Lord to people, ministering. then expect miracles. So I would say to your listeners, just be rooted in the Eucharist, blessed adoration, daily Mass, weekly confession. It was good enough for St. Teresa of Calcutta and St. John Paul, and I'm sure Benedict. It's good enough for each one of us to go to that beautiful sacrament of reconciliation so that we can keep our vision clear. Because what happened during COVID, I call it COVID cataracts. The church is closed. Mm-hmm. People lost their jobs. There was fear, anxiety, isolation, and feeling worthless. It's, Pierre Desmond, I think he was a psychologist who talked about mass transformation psychosis that created this fear like Nazi Germany. That was the recipe to create fear and anxiety, was this isolation. And so we had this. But what else happened during COVID? Churches closed. Mm-hmm. So the ability to be able to receive our Lord, to go to confession, to have adoration, were taken away for several months. Who was really in charge of that? The little guy with the horns and that tail and the pitchfork. Mm-hmm. It was Satan, who was just having a really good time creating this vaccine, allowing this vaccine to occur, made out of baby fetal parts or tested by fetal parts, which was a nefarious, I have a lot to say. I don't want to say it here because I don't want your listeners to turn off the radio. But I'm just saying that there's this relationship between killing of children, wanting to protect yourself, versus doing what's really the best, which is to stay in the state of grace. And don't worry, if God calls you today, just be prepared. Have a priest on speed dial and be prepared for death. It's a glorious thing. I'll just finish with this. One of our aides who takes care of my 102-year-old mom, her niece just died of cancer in the Philippines. She was a Carmelite sister. Cancer had spread everywhere. So she's now laying in this comatose state. And then all of a sudden she sat up and she said, "My Lord." And then she went down and slowly drifted off to a beautiful, peaceful death. She sat up and said, "My Lord," with a joy and look on her face, you know, that reassured the community and her own mother who was sitting at her bedside. So that's what we will see, and that's a promise. You will see our Lord, whether it's with a little bit of a extra baggage, or, you know, maybe you've already just gone to confession, you've been given the apostolic blessing, and he's already there to reach you, to bring you back. That's our goal. Nothing to be afraid of.
Yeah, absolutely. That's why sometimes, again, we think that life is just a vacation or a time to just an earthly journey, but it's not. Life is a pilgrimage. We're on to see the God, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. And that's why the summit and source of all we are is in the Eucharist. And all of us, again, we have the Lord with us today. We have the Lord with us tomorrow. And we'll hopefully have the Lord with us forever.
Yes, amen, Father. Yeah. Come home if you've been away from the Catholic Church. We welcome you back with open arms.
That's right. All are welcome.
Thank you for listening to another edition of WQPH's Local Matters. We hope you enjoyed the broadcast and hope you have a blessed week.